much. Thank you, choir. Let's pray. I am so grateful, O God, to be in your house today. And may every praise be on our lips for your holy name. We thank you for this day, the blessings that you give us, and we pray, dear God, that you are with us during this hour of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. I welcome all of you, especially if you are a first-time visitor. I invite you to fill out a welcome card, which are in the pews. Let us know a little about yourself. We'd like to thank you for being a part of our worship today and hope that you feel at home and pray that you will enjoy today's worship service. And let's see, first-time visitors, I covered that. Oh, I know. We're going to greet one another with the peace of Christ. Let us do that.
Good morning, church. I think we've already had a little bit of church this morning, yes? We are to enter his gates with praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, choir, for leading us in that beautiful introit. Okay. Good morning, welcome. My name is Robin Stowers. I will be liturgist for the month of August, and I would like to welcome all here today. Please do your due diligence with the salty service cards and praise and prayer cards. You can put those in the offering plate. Also, please check your inside your bulletin. Everything you need to know is in there. Fran has a nice little thank you. And pastor's class that she is starting is in here. And as far as today goes, yay, the youth is having a pool party. And... oh, it's not today?
They changed that, right?
Oh, okay. And I think we needed to know that. Well, the pool party has been changed to next Sunday. I'll put my swimsuit up. And, okay, well, what is going on tonight is Calvary. What are you laughing at? You have a visual? Okay. This evening, though, I am just pleased as punch to announce that Calvary is going to have its first prayer and praise food for body and soul. We will start at 5 o'clock with a spaghetti supper that will be cooked and prepared for you. Doesn't cost a thing. If you'd like to put in a love donation, that will be welcome. And after that, we're going to gather in the sanctuary and have a time of praise music and some worship songs going on. And then we're going to be blessed by hearing our own George Thompson will be giving his testimony tonight. So I encourage all of you to come out this evening and share in that. We're going to be doing that this once a month, and so look for that on your calendars. It'll be the second Sunday of every month at 5 o'clock. Bring your friends and neighbors. Sounds good. Okay, well, we all know that school is starting on Tuesday in Clay County. The teachers went back last week, and we have a nice little thank you note from Myra. I'd like to thank everyone who helped with W.E. Cherry collection of school supplies and the backpacks. Calvary donated a total of 42 backpacks. 20 were filled, 11 were partially filled, and 11 were empty. But that's okay, they can put books in there. The collection of school supplies is now over for the school year. Please, no more school supplies, no more backpacks. Myra is taking the last of the school supplies to W.E. Cherry on this Monday, tomorrow, the 14th. So if you still have some and you want to donate them, you can drop them off in Sue's office, and Myra will pick them up and take them to W.E. Cherry. So thank you for that, Calvary. I think you need to give yourselves a hand for all that you did for the school supplies for the children. I think that's a wonderful ministry. Okay, I believe Dee Dee has an announcement.
It's an awesome fundraiser. We are going to sell calendars this year. These are Christian calendars, and they have scripture on them and beautiful pictures, and they are made purposely for the churches to sell. This has the King James Version of the scripture in them. The beauty of these calendars is this is made of cardstock, which means you can write on this and you can erase it with a pencil. I don't know if any of you have tangled with these slit calendars and had to change appointments. You have all these scratch marks on your calendar that you can't even see the date. And so this is beautiful. I have used them for years, and so I'm sharing it with you. And so they will be $8 a piece, or a break, two for $15. Woo-hoo! They are in the office at this point, and so you can pick them up anytime you're up here. And so it would be wonderful if we could just have a sellout. We don't have many. We only ordered 50 of them. So get yours early.
I'll say 50. Woo!
Check your money out.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. Yes, Barbara. Hallway. Okay, thank you, Barbara. I hope everyone heard. There's some pictures of VBS in the hallway, and please do look at those and share some laughter. Bulletins for the opening words. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Lord, hear my cry, and mercy to me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea.
God, who rules wind and water, stand by me.
God stands with you in bright sunshine and deepest storm.
God gently guides us to safety and peace. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 512 in your hymnals, we will sing Stand By Me. Of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Some things for you that I need you to help me with. You look sunburned. Are you sunburned there, Zachary? My goodness. Now, what we need you to do is I need some of you to be an earthquake and some of you to be a hurricane. If you're going to be a hurricane, you want one of these. I need some hurricanes. Who's going to be a hurricane? Okay, Zachary, just hang on to it. When the time comes, I'm going to tell you what to do. Okay, John's going to be a hurricane. Anyone else want to be a hurricane? Anna will be a hurricane. Okay. You want a blue hurricane? You can have the blue hurricane. And she got a pink one. All right, now I need some people to be the earthquake. Who's going to be the earthquake? Bradley? Matthew, you want to be an earthquake too since you're up here? No. All right, I'll be an earthquake then. I'll be an earthquake. Oh, you want to be an earthquake? Here you go, Ashton. There you go, sweetie. Does she know how to blow on it? Okay, in a minute, what we're going to do, when I say the word hurricane, I want you to blow into that as hard as you can, all those who have the blowers. And when I say earthquake, I want everybody to blow their horn as loud as they, not right now, as loud as they can. I guess I'm going to help the earthquake people. We're talking about, it doesn't make a sound, you're a hurricane. You're a hurricane, it's just wind. It's just wind. Okay, all right. I'm going to tell a story about the prophet Elijah. Hi there. Who, you want him to be a hurricane? Elijah was hiding in a cave, and because some people were trying to kill him, and first, a hurricane came by the cave. Hurricane, hurricane, blow, 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 the hurricane, blow. Okay, good. And then an earthquake came by the cave. This one's broken. Okay, enough of that. Enough of that. After the hurricane came by and the earthquake came by and fire came by, there was a sound of silence. No more hurricane, no more hurricane, no more earthquake. Ah, do I have to take them away? No more hurricane. Thank you. Okay. What we hear after the hurricane and after the earthquake, we hear is silence. Silence. And that's when God revealed himself to Elijah. You know, when we pray on Sunday mornings, I sometimes tell you to close your eyes. That's out of worship and holiness of God, and bow your heads. But it's also a way to drown out the noises around you, to be silent and to listen for God's voice. Sometimes you can't hear God for the noise around us. God isn't always heard in the loudest person in the room. Sometimes God is heard in the silence, in the quiet. And that's when God reveals God's self to us. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, God, that you do come to us. Help us to tune our hearts to hearing your voice for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the youth have a special litany for back to school. I think these two are going to do it. Want to go here? Microphone here and a microphone there, or you can both do it at the same microphone. Okay, do it at the same microphone. And then when they're done, we can go to our seats and get candy.
Hi, my name is Bradley, and I'll be doing a back-to-school litany. Learning is a gift from God. You could say that again. Learning is a gift from God. As we begin this new school year, we give thanks that God has given us the ability to learn many things in many ways. Loving God, sometimes a new school year seems exciting, scary, or sometimes both. Help us remember to show our thanks for your gifts of learning by doing our best every day.
We ask that you bless our schools, teachers, classmates, and friends. We ask that you bless those who prepare our lunches, those who drive us to school, and those who keep our schools clean and safe. We ask God's blessing on this new school year, that it may be time when we appreciate and fully use God's gift of learning. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's have some candy here. You can keep that.
I want some.
Okay, take it. Sure. You're welcome. AJ, find it. He got his? Okay, good. Christian, you're going to get one? Okay. Well, after all that hullabaloo, let's continue to worship with the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. I invite the ushers to please come forward. Let us pray. God, you are the author of every good and perfect gift, and we give you thanks and praise for the wonderful gifts we receive on a daily basis. Help us to lead lives of gratitude and grace. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Oh, okay. They weren't fooling, were they? You're in pain. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, Andy, we're just going to add you to the prayer list here.
I appreciate it.
Yep, he's suffering, I can tell. We have others that I would like to lift up today to you as well. We have, from the first service, we have Mary Dixon, who's having foot problems, and Kitty Fuller, who just had surgery, but she's home and recovering, and Kay Lewis has had some tests recently that have not shown anything, which is good news, but they don't know what it is, which is bad news. So we need to pray for Kay. Ben Carley just had surgery. Where's Ben? Oh, he's out there. Okay, well, I looked over there, and I didn't see him, so I thought he was back here. All right. Ben Carley just had some mouth surgery, so that hurts. And we have two people getting ready to have surgery. Barbara Hoosey's going to have surgery shortly. And Walter Bonner, both of them are having knee replacement surgery. I don't know. I mean, it's like we're getting old or something. But I also want to have some time just to share with you a couple other things in the wake of the events that occurred in Charlottesville this week. I want you to pray for the people of Charlottesville as well as our country. Pray also that hate would fail and that God's love will prevail. Pray that the hearts of those that are filled with hate would be softened to receive God's grace at work in their lives. It's important for you to hear that the Church of Jesus Christ stands opposed to hatred and racism in all forms. It is not of God. But all sides need our prayers and need the healing of God. And I invite you to spend just a few moments silently. Remind you that that candle, which is not burning, but is normally lit. The hurricane put it out, possibly. That's a peace candle. And that we are called to be peacemakers and reconcilers. And therefore, we light that candle and keep it lit on Sunday mornings. So if you would, in these moments of prayer that I always invite you to by bowing your heads and closing your eyes, taking some deep breaths to find that sheer silence, not to hear my voice, but God's. And then offer your prayer if you feel called to do so, silently or aloud. A name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that needs God's healing touch today. Let us pray. So many needs, and one God. It seems impossible that your love can defeat it all, but it can. We trust, dear God, that your love is the strongest power on this earth, and it heals and brings us together. We pray your blessing upon those suffering today, physically, mentally, and spiritually. We pray for those who are misguided and are outside of the truth. We pray that your prevenient grace be at work in their lives because they need you, whether they know it or not. And help us to be your people called to this time in this place to serve and love you, not ourselves. We pray, dear God, in the name of the one who taught his children to pray as they say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
take your hymn books and stand and sing with me, page 333, and keep Andy in your prayers. He is in much pain. So stand and let's sing, 333.
I know as I read this first scripture, you guys will have the visual of the hurricane and the earthquake. That was a great job, Pastor. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 14. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." Is this right? This is
chapter
not right.
19, 1 Kings.
Yeah. 1 Kings 19.
19, starting with verse 9.
Thank you. We always need a pastor by our side, don't we? At that place, he came to the cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Our second scripture this morning is found in Matthew chapter 14, and it'll be verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it you..." Wait a minute.
If it is.
I am having trouble turning pages. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Many years ago, before I started college, I stood in the hallway outside of the college admissions office, standing there in my best Sunday dress, sweating, and I pushed the door open to the office, and I saw a man sitting there at a desk working on some paperwork, and before I could say anything, he looked up at me and he said, "Why are you here? What are you doing?" And I stammered and I said, "I was looking for the admissions office." And he said, "This is it. What are you doing here?" And I attempted to answer. I said, I'm Esther Robinson. I have an appointment." And he said, "I know that, but what are you doing?" I was completely bumfuzzled and confused, and I said, "I don't understand the question, sir. You've got to help me out." And he said, "What are you doing here? Not here in this room, but in this life. Why do you want to go to college? What is your calling, your purpose, your passion? What are you doing here?" Well, I don't know how good that man was at recruiting students, but he sure was good at knowing the important question. His question was the same question that God asked Elijah on the mountain. "What are you doing here?" God said to Elijah. On one level, it's a question about why Elijah is hiding in a cave far away from where he's supposed to be. And at another level, it's a question about Elijah's calling in life. Now, you have to understand a little bit of the background to understand why Elijah was in the cave in the first place. He had been called by God to oppose the current rulers of Israel, Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab, under the influence of Jezebel, reintroduced pagan worship to the nation of Israel, Baal worship. Many of the people were following their leaders and adopted it. So there was a big confrontation between Elijah and the priests of Baal that involved the sacrifice of a bull and the calling down of fire from heaven. The story you'll find in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 through 40. Anyway, the 400 priests of Baal fail the test, but Elijah succeeded in calling down fire from heaven, and all the Baal priests were killed. But instead of proving something to Jezebel, she got mad and decided to have Elijah killed. And so Elijah, having just had this great victory over the priests of Baal and calling down fire from heaven, then he turns tail and runs. After that gigantic demonstration of God's power, the first sign of trouble, he gives up. And that's how he comes to be hiding in the cave. God comes and finds him in the cave and says to him that important question, "What are you doing here? Why did you run away, Elijah?" And Elijah's answer is not about God, but about himself. He says, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Elijah's fatal flaw at this moment is that he believes that he is the one who has done good things for God, when in truth it is God who has done good things for the world through Elijah. Now, this moves to the second meaning of that question. The meaning that the college admissions officer was trying to get at. What is your calling, your purpose in life? And Elijah had forgotten that his calling was to allow God to work in and through him for the benefit of Israel and ultimately the world. But it was not about Elijah himself. Now, let's move to the story of Jesus walking on the water in the gospel lesson. And we discover that Peter had a very similar problem to Elijah. When he looked at the storm that surrounded him, he forgot it was God that was helping him and holding him up. And he began to think to himself, "I can't do this. I can't walk on water." And what happened? He began to sink. Now, I'm not advocating for some form of positive thinking, like looking deep within yourself and you've got to believe, nothing like that. I want you to remember that we don't do great things for God. God does great things for us. And God does great things through us for the salvation of the world. But it is not about us. Now, you may remember, I guess it's been a number of years ago now, when those bracelets, "What Would Jesus Do?" those little plastic or rubber bands that people would wear that said WWJD, "What Would Jesus Do?" And I used to joke at the time that I needed a WWPD bracelet, "What Would Peter Do?" Because that's a standard that I can live up to, Peter. And I'm kind of serious about that. The trouble with WWJD is that we're not Jesus. We're not divine. We can't do what Jesus did. And the point of these stories is that we are dependent on God. And God is trustworthy to be depended on. Jesus could walk on water. Peter couldn't, except with God's help. Elijah didn't make God send the fire from heaven. God sent Elijah to call down for the fire. Way too often here in church, we think it's our job to do great things for God. We want to build big buildings and attract huge crowds and be a significant or important congregation in our community and in the Methodist Church. And none of this is bad unless we think that we do these things on our own as a service to God. We don't. It is not our calling to be successful, as the world defines it. It is our calling instead to be faithful as God defines it. It's our calling here in church to proclaim the word, to administer the sacraments, to serve the world in the name of the one who came to serve us. In Romans 10:14, it says, "How are they to hear without someone to tell them?" It's our calling to be proclaimers in words and deeds of the good news of this love, this grace in God. Now, our proclamation may result in size or significance, but it may not. But that's not the issue. The issue is remembering that to say Jesus is Lord is also to say, "And I am not." Jesus is Lord, and I am not. Not by my own reason and strength can I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. The issue is remembering the important question: what are we doing here? Our calling is to be a means of grace in the world. A place and a people through whom God will love and serve the world. Just as he loves you and me. Giving yourself to Jesus today is the important answer. Let him heal you. That is what you are doing here. Amen. And amen.
If you'll please take your hymnals and stand and sing with me 357, "Just As I Am," without one plea.
Thank you.
leave this place, I do want to offer a prayer for Andy. We don't know what his problem is, but he's in enough pain that he couldn't stay. So let's pray, dear God, that you will surround your son and servant Andy. Give him what he needs for healing, dear God. Let all those who care for him be your instruments, and may your love and power be at work in his life before he knows it or feels it. And give him relief. Yes. All this we ask in the name of the one who taught us to be servants in this world and to leave this place in an attitude of love and service. Through the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God rest and abide with you now and always. Go in his peace. Amen.